There, the teens are there in the living room with you or the outside, wherever you guys have gathered. Make sure your Bibles are open. We're going to be in Psalm 46, 47, and 48 tonight. It's a trilogy, if you will, of praise unto the Lord. And it says, starting out in Psalm 46, it says, to the chief musician, the Psalms of the sons of Korah. But we're not going to start in Psalm 46 tonight. We're going to start in Psalm 47 and then 48. We're going to go back to 46 as we're going to talk about when trouble is a beautiful word. Let's say that again. When trouble is a beautiful word. Let's begin, though, in Psalm 47. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Now, we're going to cover these two psalms quickly, and then we're going to get into Psalm 46, which is our sermon for tonight. So Psalm 47 is taken, if you will, this psalm goes into the prophetic future. It goes through the great tribulation period until the second coming of Christ Jesus. And so when he returns and saves Israel there in the tribulation period, they start out, and the psalmist writes this in Psalm 47, verse 1. He says, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples, plural. Look at that. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. What an amazing way or ways to worship the Lord. You ever think that clapping and a shout of triumph, a song of triumph to God, how he enjoys our praises. So all of the nations of the earth, they're now, they're to acknowledge God as their king. And he's just not the king of Israel. No, he's the king of all the earth. Look at verse 2. For the Lord Most High is awesome. Here it comes. He is a great king over all the earth, and we praise God, for he is our king. Amen. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. And God has gone up with a shout. In other words, returned to heaven in victory, sitting back upon his throne, if you will. The Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Oh, sing praises. And the reason? For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding, meaning for all who know and understand that he is God. He is our God. Can you imagine if after the second coming, at the end of the millennial reign, whenever this is occurring, every person, man, woman, child, every person on earth singing praises unto God. What a day that will be. God reigns, or God rules over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The prince of the people have gathered together, the people of God of Abraham, the shields of the earth belong to God, meaning the protectors, those who serve the Lord. And he is greatly exalted. So one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Quickly, let's look at Psalm 48, another psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. That would be the temple, of course, and Mount Moriah, the city of the great king. Jerusalem, one day, not now, it's not the joy of the whole earth. But one day, it's going to be the joy of the whole earth. It's going to be the capital of the universe when Jesus returns at the second coming. So the reason it's beautiful and the reason that the whole earth is going to rejoice, look at verse 3. It's because God is there. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge or her shelter from danger. For behold, the kings assembled and they passed by together. They saw it. They marveled. They were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them, and pain as a woman in birth pangs, as when you break or destroy the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Verse 8, as we have heard, now they've heard about it, Now, it says, so we have seen the city of the Lord of hosts, and in the city of our God, God will establish it forever and ever and ever and ever. And again, the psalmist says, Selah, pause and think about that. So one day everyone will indeed not, we've heard about it, but one day we'll see all the promises of God. Go down to verse 11 quickly. It says, and let Mount Zion rejoice, and let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go all around her. Count her towers. Mark her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. Now listen carefully. The psalmist is not referring to a city. He's talking about our God in heaven. Look at this. For this is God, he says, our God forever and ever. And he will be our guide. He will be our shepherd even to death. I thank God tonight that we are his purchased possession, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And our God is not for a moment. Our God is real, and our God is forever and ever and ever. He is even our guide. The Lord is my shepherd, your shepherd. He is even our guide unto death. You know, David told us, remember that great 23rd Psalm? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. God is our guide. He's our shepherd. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I'm so thankful tonight, loved one. As Jesus told us in John 5:24, he says, oh, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into the judgment, but has passed out of death all the way over into life. Did you know that right now our shepherd is leading us? God is leading us through this land, through this, what we call life, okay, this journey. And he's leading us like it says in the scripture when Paul says, and thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be assured tonight as we get ready now to begin our sermon. Listen carefully. Remember tonight that whatever God starts, God finishes. And he will finish the work that he started with us until our race is finished. Now, I'm going to quote from Job 14:1, where Job cries out and he says this, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's exactly right, Job. Job said, life is short, and as we live this small segment of time, he says, you know what? The days will be troubled. There will be full of trouble in our life. But may I tell you what, tonight, that word trouble, no one wants trouble. But for the believer, can we do something different tonight? You know, that when trouble, we find it to be a beautiful word. Trouble is a beautiful word if you are a believer. Now let's begin tonight with Psalm 46, where it starts out and it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. Now, that's evidently talking about the female singers, Alamoth, Allah. It means, in Isaiah, whenever it says, about the Messiah, that a virgin will conceive him. Well, that's that same word. So evidently, these are the Hebrew virgins, Hebrew women. They're the sopranos, and they're backing up this great chorus here. So Psalm 46 through 48, they form a beautiful trilogy of praise. And so Psalm 46, by the way, has been called by many Luther's psalm. And the reason is because a mighty fortress is our God. The great Reformation hymn was penned by Martin Luther, and based upon Psalm 46. So, with all that being said tonight, when trouble is a beautiful word, let's begin Psalm 46, verse 1. The psalmist cries out and he says this, God is our refuge, and God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. This verse is magnificent. This verse is over the top important. And loved one, this verse has passed through the lips of generations of believers. And not only that, since this has been penned, generations of Christians, they have committed this verse to their memory. God is my refuge. God is my strength. A very present help in trouble. It's one of my favorite verses. I've penned it, written in my memory as well. But loved one, I want you to listen to me. To know it is not enough. To say it is not enough. You have to believe this verse with all of your heart, and you have to make it your very own verse, personal possessive, as you would see this. Look at it. God is our, he says. That's personal possessive. In other words, we must make this our own, and we say it like this. God is my refuge. Say it right now. God is my refuge. He's my shelter from danger. Right this very minute. God is my strength. The Bible tells us, as we will learn very soon as we're studying Ephesians on Sunday mornings, we won't be long and we'll be into the warfare in chapter 6. It says in Ephesians 6:10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Not yourself, not your flesh, not your wisdom. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul wrote to us in Ephesians 3:20, I believe it is, where he said that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us, meaning the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah writes when they were building the wall, remember in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Loved one, believe Psalm 46:1. Let that enter into your heart. We need to shout for joy because that verse is not only sure, it is not only a fact. Loved one, it is certain. Right this very minute, Almighty God is our refuge. He is my strength. And tomorrow he'll be my strength. Next year he'll be my strength. Forever God alone will be all that we will ever need. Let me tell you something about the world. All the refuges of the world are lies. All of them. And all other strengths in this world are weakness. You know why? Because God is the only one who has that. The Bible says in Psalm 62:11, God has spoken once. No, he's spoken twice, and I've heard it. Here it comes. That power, that strength, all the other strengths in this world, they're weakness compared to God. He says, I've heard it once. I've heard it twice. That power belongs to God. God is all-powerful. Matter of fact, loved one, he owns power because he is power. He is God. He is our Father, our refuge, our strength. He is our all in all. The psalmist has said, I've heard it once, but I heard it twice. Can't we just hear the word of God once and believe it instead of letting it have to go over and over and over? By faith, right now, loved one, listen to me. Right this minute, make certain that this verse is in your heart. Make certain that it's in your heart. That God indeed is your refuge, your shelter from danger. He is your strength, a very present help in trouble. That's when trouble becomes a beautiful word, isn't it? Because you know that God is right there with you in that trouble. We know that all things are possible with God, and nothing will ever be impossible with God. It says in Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge to us. Indeed, he is. He is our refuge tonight. He is the only place worth hiding in, running to on this entire planet. God is our refuge and strength in verse 1. A very present help in trouble. Listen, our God is not just a present help. The emphasis there is on the word very. He is a very present. He's more than present than anything you're facing. He's more than present than anyone that you would ever look to or turn to in a time of trouble. Man, he's a very present help in trouble. There are 21 different Hebrew words for trouble in the Old Testament. Here, the word trouble literally means to be cramped or to be so restricted, if you will. It means to be in a tight place that is smothering you to death. You're in trouble. But here's the deal. If you are in trouble, you should say in your heart, trouble is a beautiful word, because God, the God who created everything, the God who sustains everything, he is right very present with me this very moment in this trouble. So he says, therefore, in verse 2, based on what we've just learned, therefore, we will not fear. What a great word. You know, the Bible says that fear hath torment, but perfect love cast out all fear. See, when you know that God loves you, man, listen, he is with you every step of the way, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. Listen, God has given us everything. We never need to fear anything. Are you in trouble tonight? Are you in a tight place tonight? Then, Christian, listen to me. Read and believe with all of your heart that God has provided you shelter from the storm, or shelter from the danger, or shelter from the trouble. And what is the shelter? Himself. It's God himself. But you say, well, Bill, listen, I have some big troubles tonight. I mean, they are magnificent. They are just over the top, huge. May I tell you, loved one, listen, you are a believer. You're owned by Jesus Christ. He bought you. He paid for you on the cross with his blood. Listen to me. Don't magnify your trouble. No, see, trouble is a beautiful word if you're in Christ. Don't magnify your trouble. Magnify God. In other words, not make God bigger than he is, to really see God for who he really is. Amen? The Bible says in Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of the God with song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So the scripture just said, therefore, we will not fear. Fear what? Fear any trouble. Any trouble, no matter what we're facing. Why? Because God is more present than the trouble that we are in. What would happen if you're in trouble right now? And trouble is a beautiful word, because we know where God is in the midst of our trouble. What would happen right now if you started in your trouble, if you just started magnifying God and do so with thanksgiving unto the Lord right now in the midst of whatever you're facing? I'll tell you something. When you do that, something happens in the unseen spiritual realm. Something happens when you turn your eyes away from that trouble and you look to the one who is very present in the midst of your trouble. Right there immediately, who is with you. Oh, look to our refuge. Look to our strength. The Bible says in Psalm 146:5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Man, listen, one of the great mistakes Christians make is that they run to man when they are in trouble. Did you know the Bible teaches us for the help of man is useless in the time of trouble? Why? Because God is in our midst. He's very present with us, loved one. Therefore, we will not fear. Again, based on verse 1, what we just learned. Watch this now. Even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though its waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. He says, let's pause right there. Pause and let's think about this. Let's ponder what the scripture just said. Everything that you know in this world, I mean everything familiar, is completely removed in your very sight, instantly changed. You witness the mountains of this planet just completely disappearing into the ocean. And you know what? We don't have to be afraid. We know that one day this is going to happen. We know that the world is going to pass away. We look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. Even if all things are removed, God says, don't you ever be afraid. You have to be afraid of nothing. Why? Because God is our shelter in danger. And more than that, in the midst of every trouble, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter the pain, no matter what it is, He is very present in trouble, the trouble that you are facing. Listen, this world is passing away. 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever. We don't trust this world, and you know why? This world is not ours. It's not, we've overcome this world. We have no continuing city here. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We have a home in heaven. Now watch this. Let's look what happens in heaven. It says, there is a river whose streams, plural, whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle, the holy place of literally the dwelling place of the Most High. Now listen, God is not only our refuge, God is our shelter from danger. God is not only our strength. God is not only our help, our very present help in any kind of trouble, but God is also our river. He is our river of refreshment. For there is a river, it said, of refreshment in the midst of our trouble. Oh, that's how good God is. He said, you need to drink. Listen to me now. The city of God is Jerusalem. You go to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, you can go to Jerusalem today. There is no river running through Jerusalem. But you know what? This here, when every other ancient city was always founded most likely on a river or by water, not Jerusalem. So we know then that he's speaking about something different than the earthly Jerusalem. Loved one, listen. This river can only come from the throne room of the living God in the new Jerusalem in heaven. Listen to Revelation 21:1. He says, and John writes, and he says, oh, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth, they passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And then I, John, I saw the holy city, the capital of the universe, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Listen, the New Jerusalem, the heaven there in heaven, loved one, listen, it's a holy city. Everything in heaven is holy. We're forever free from any form of sin. Everything that we have, everything that we're going to have, loved one, here we are on earth, but everything we have is there. It is not here. No, we've laid up our treasures in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. Heaven is our home, and in heaven we will have our reward. This heaven, loved one, is the finish line. That is where the race of faith comes to an end. And there is a river there, it said. Listen, one day, every Christian, you, me, we're going to walk through a great, giant pearl gate. And when we do, we're going to see inside the city of God. It says in Revelation 22:1, and he, meaning the angel, showed me, meaning John, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. There's no river like that anywhere on this planet, loved one. No, it's only found in heaven. And what does this river of life do? Look at verse 4 again. It makes glad those that are in the city of God. It causes them to rejoice. Look at it. There's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. I believe with all my heart that that is, of course, a literal river. And yes, it is also has to be a tangible expression of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 7:37 about the Holy Spirit, he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Of course, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. Loved one, you want to be refreshed? Drink. Drink as much as you can of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He says, and God is in the midst of her, meaning the New Jerusalem. She shall not be moved or shaken. God will help her just at the break of dawn. What is he talking about here? Well, he's bringing us back to earth. Just at the break of dawn, just in the nick of time. What is he speaking of? Well, he's going to help Israel when? At the very nick of time, at the second coming of Christ, at the end of the great tribulation period. You know as I do, one day, the nations of the world, they will surround Jerusalem, and they want to destroy Jerusalem completely. And at Jerusalem's darkest moment, Israel's darkest moment, I mean the worst time ever, what does God do? Oh, listen, that's when trouble is a beautiful word. Look at verse 6. The nations, look what they did, the ones that were surrounding Jerusalem. The nations, they raged. In other words, they were in furious uproar. It's almost like a picture of an animal wanting to devour its prey. Oh, so the nations raged, and watch this, the kingdoms were moved, meaning they were overthrown. The empires of the world, they fell in a second of time, a moment of time. Why? Because he just uttered his voice. He just spoke. And the earth melted. In other words, that word means it dissolved. That's when men's heart are failing them for fear. So at the word of God, he just speaks, it is done. The earth is melting. The kings, they're falling, but not Jerusalem. Why? Why is Jerusalem secure? Well, because God is not only their refuge, he is our refuge. He is our strength. Trouble is a beautiful word if you belong to God. Listen, because it says he's a very present help in trouble. Verse 7 tells us why Jerusalem is secure and safe. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah, our shelter from danger. God, the commander of all the heavenly armies in the universe. Jesus, who has all power and authority in heaven and upon this planet. Well, I tell you what, the host of heaven, the armies of heaven. The Bible says in Revelation 19, we're going to return at the second coming with our Lord to this planet. Man, I tell you what a time that is going to be. How can we be in trouble, loved one, if the Lord of hosts is with us? If angels are encamping around you right now? No matter what we're facing, the COVID-19 or whatever it is, we belong to God and we will not leave this planet until God says it's time. He says, come. Watch this now. Come, behold the works of the Lord. The war is over now. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. That incredible invitation to Israel. He says, yep, they surrounded you. They wanted to destroy you. Come. Come right now and look upon the remains of those who wanted to kill you. The ones who came to destroy Jerusalem, God has destroyed. Now look at verse 9. He makes wars cease. I'll praise God for that day. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. No more war. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. There is only one person who will end all wars and bring peace to this planet, and that is the Prince of Peace. What a wonderful day. The universal peace will one day be a reality. But first, the future trouble that's coming to Israel, the future trouble that's coming to this planet, and no human being can stop it. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says, alas for the day, it's great. Listen carefully now. So that none is like it, that day that's coming. And it is a time of Jacob's trouble, meaning Israel, not the church. No, but he shall be saved out of it. We all know about the great tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, that seven-year period of time. The day of the Lord is a day of darkness. It's a time when the great tribulation, no one will escape. It says in Amos 5:19, it will be as though a man fled from a lion and met a bear. It says as though he went to the house, he leaned his hand upon the wall, and a serpent or a snake bit him. Is it not the day of the Lord? Is it not a day of darkness and not light? It is very dark with no brightness in it. Man, there's not going to be any escape. No matter which way a person turns, unless they belong to the Lord in the great tribulation period, the tribulation saints of God. Oh, loved one, listen, there is a universal day of judgment. Aren't you glad God has saved you already out of that trouble? That judgment that's coming, it's going to be so horrible that the angels of God, they even cry out. It says in Revelation 8:13, woe, three woes, listen, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. In Revelation 9:5, it talks about those demons that have been released from the pit. It says, and they were given authority not to kill people, but to torment them. Torment. Do you know that word torment in the New Testament used in Revelation is only used of demons? He says, oh, listen. He says they have authority not to kill anyone, but they have authority to torment people on the earth that don't belong to God. He says for 5 months, that's 24/7, loved one, all day, all night. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. These are the unholy, evil, wicked, liberated demons. They couldn't kill the people upon the planet during the great tribulation period. But boy, did they ever suffer torment. It says 5 months. Did you know that 5 months, if I'm not mistaken, is the lifespan of the locusts? Remember, they were the locusts that came out. They looked like the locusts and so forth. And so there they are. They're being tormented like a scorpion bite. But that's supernatural demonic torture. It says in Revelation 9:6, in those days, those horrible days of Jacob's trouble, the days of trouble, those days men will seek death. They'll not find it. They'll desire to die and death will flee from them. Isn't that amazing what's going to happen then? They won't repent of their sins. They won't turn to God. They know who's doing this. They know what's happening, but they hate God. Loved one, listen, death isn't the worst thing. Living when you should be dead is worse. And those people that are being tormented, they cannot die. They seek death, but they cannot die. That's what the Bible says. Pardon me, can you imagine? Can you imagine a world in the great tribulation, people, where every man, every woman, every child on the planet that doesn't belong to God wants to die. They desire to die, but they cannot die. Daniel tells us in Daniel 12:1, he says this about that day. He says there will be a time of trouble. Oh, thank God that he is a very present help in our trouble, that we never need to be afraid. Daniel says again, oh, there shall be a time of trouble. Listen closely, such as never was since there was a nation. Remember what Jesus told us when he warned us about what was coming. Jesus said in Matthew 24:21, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. What a word is that? That's what's coming to this planet. Oh, I thank God tonight that God is not only our refuge, which means our shelter from danger. He is our strength, loved one. And more than that, he is a present help in trouble. Whatever trouble you might be in, if you belong to him, he's right there, right with you this very moment to deliver you out of whatever that you're facing. And when all this hell breaks loose upon the earth, loved one, listen, we're not going to be here. No, listen, the Bible tells us, Jesus told us, remember the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation. He says in Revelation 3:10, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth. The word from, eke in Greek, it means more than I'm going to get you through it. That's not what that word means, or you'll prevail, or I'll somehow shelter you. That word from or eke in the Greek means a complete removing. You'll not be touched by it at all by the great tribulation period. Why? Because we're going to be raptured out. We're going to be called away, the church, before the great tribulation occurs. And not only that, we have to realize that verse 10 tells us the ones who are being tested, you know who they are? It says, again, it says those to test those who dwell upon the earth. If you look up in the book of Revelation, every time that that word test there is used, it's used 10 times, and it's always used to test unbelievers, not believers. We have nothing to fear because God is our refuge, our strength, a present help in time of our trouble, loved one. Maybe you're trying tonight to handle your own trouble. You know, get through it, remove it, whatever you might be. Listen, if you belong to God, then trouble is a beautiful word for the Christian. You know, the Holy Spirit says many times, Jesus said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm asking you right now, would you listen? Listen to the voice of the one who loves you. Listen to the voice of the one who is a very present help in trouble, the voice of God. Look at verse 10, a magnificent verse. Look what God says to do in all the trouble that you're facing. Maybe the worries you're facing, the hurt, the pain, whatever it might be tonight. God says this, listen to his voice, embrace this word. He says, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Hebrew word actually means, be still actually means, take your hands off of it. What a word is that? God says, get your hands off of it. You know what our problem is? So many people today in the church, we're a hands-on people. I've got to get my hands on it. You know, in other words, I'm a control freak. I've got to be in control. No, listen, loved one, listen. You know what? God uses our hands. You know, he used the disciples' hands to pass out the bread, the fish, and all that to the people. But the disciples couldn't multiply it. Only God could do that. Listen, sometimes we use our hands, and sometimes God says, take your hands off of it. He says, take your hands off of it if you're in trouble, because I'm in the very midst of your trouble. You stop trying to correct it, and let me correct it for you. The battle is the Lord's. It's not yours, loved one. He says, oh, listen, you be still. You know that I am God. We're living in the day of trouble in our nation. I tell you that I believe with all my heart that America is under the strongest delusion in my lifetime. They're blind. They cannot see what's really happening. They're confused. They believe lies instead of believing the truth. We're living right now in the day of troubles. But oh, if you belong to God, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, trouble is a beautiful word, for God is there with you. Did you know that trouble means that you have an immediate, instant, very present help in trouble, that God is with you? And maybe you're going through a storm of troubles right now. Many people are. Do what God says. Be still. Take your hands off of it and let God handle it for you. He loves you. He says, oh, the Lord of hosts is, that's present tense, watch this, the Lord of hosts is with us right this minute. The Lord of hosts, all the armies of God are with us right now. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Listen, the Lord of hosts, Jesus told us in Matthew 28:20, he says, lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen. Are you in trouble? Is your heart troubled? Is your family troubled? I tell you that our God if you belong to him. He is a very immediate, instant, present help in your trouble. Take your hands off of it. Be still and know that he is God and know what he can do. Jesus told us about trouble. He said in John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Oh, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." The peace of the Son of God. He said, "I give it to you." He says, not as the world gives do I give to you. Here it is. Let your heart be not troubled, and neither let it be afraid. He is very present with you in your trouble right now. Never forget that. Put that verse, Psalm 46:1, memorize it. Put it on your pillow at night. Put it under your pillow at night. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your visor in your car. Memorize it and believe it. Not saying it, but believe it with all your heart. God is for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I love you dearly. The Lord bless you tonight. The Lord keep you tonight. He is faithful. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this evening. And thank you again for the great comfort that only you can give to Steve and Carol. We love them dearly, and we will not cease lifting them up to the throne of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.